It is the Morning Show on Sports Radio 92 on the Game. Hope you're having a safe drive in. I'm going to sound like your dad, and I don't care that I do. The roads are wet. You know what happens. Take your time. Be careful. Arrive alive. Don't do any darn property damage. And I'm talking to my – well, actually, I'm talking to my daughter. So this is your dad. All right? What I'm saying to the 22-year-old. All right? 5 days to Christmas. Don't ruin Christmas. That's all I'm saying. All right? Dad's kicked out enough money on his credit card already. All right? Don't ruin Christmas. Plus, I don't want you to get hurt. Now, if you're thinking about a late Christmas present, how about we give one away right now, John? John Chuckery in for Hugh. Hugh will be back tomorrow. The Hawks, coming off that big win over Washington, are going to play the Pacers, Victor Oladipo and the Indiana Pacers, the day after Christmas at State Farm Arena, and tickets are available at Hawks.com. If you're looking for a stocking stuffer, you can go to Hawks.com right now, get two tickets to the game the day after Christmas, stick them in a envelope or something, print them out, and you got a nice little stocking stuffer. But we're going to give away two tickets free of charge right now to the, see how fast people are, third caller at 404-741-0929. Got to be quick on the finger. Third callers to two tickets to Hawks and Indiana Pacers on Wednesday night, night after Christmas.
Can't wait to see Chuck Person.
Chuck Person, really?
Oh, he's not there anymore. Steve Stepanovich.
Rick Smiths.
Yeah.
Byrne Sam Mitchell. Fleming.
Sam Mitchell.
Sam Mitchell. Byrne Fleming.
Mm-hmm. Clark Kellogg.
Clark Kellogg.
Yeah.
Clark Kellogg.
The Davis Boys.
Clark Kellogg, the pride of St. Joe's High School in Cleveland, Ohio.
Yeah, nobody cares.
Wow. Boy, who's salty now? Boy, salty, grumpy grandpa over here. Merry Christmas to you too, John.
Uh-huh, yeah.
Aren't you glad I'm leaving? Get Hugh back tomorrow?
Yeah, Hugh's back tomorrow.
Yeah, I hope Hugh brings some gingerbread cookies because you are kind of
nasty. Yeah, if Hugh's listening at all, which I'm sure he wouldn't be, but can he bring some more Camu into our box? I could use some more Camu. Can anybody remind him about
it? He says.
Yeah, he's right.
A shipment is coming.
Yeah, a shipment is coming. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, he's been saying that.
So it's Christmas, but.
Yeah, right, exactly. I mean, absolutely. We were talking about Justin Fields is one of the big topics yesterday, still is a topic today, and it's taking a bit of a turn because the Justin Fields story now is that Fields is saying that now that he's in this portal that he could transfer to any other school and schools can call him, and I'm sure his phone line was getting dinged up last night with texts from coaches around America, Ryan Day reaching out to him from Ohio State, Lincoln Riley from Oklahoma, and probably many more, and his parents are probably getting their phones blown up too. But Justin's like, well, I'm in the portal, but I'm going to stay with the team, and I'm going to go down to New Orleans. I want to play in the Sugar Bowl, and I got to tell you, Kirby Smart runs the team in any way he wants, John. I think this is a really bad move on Kirby's part if he doesn't sit down with Justin and say, look, today, all right, you got two choices. You're either going to withdraw from the portal, commit to the G, be on the team next year, in which case we're going to go to practice today and we're getting ready to go down for this game. Matter of fact, they're probably leaving if they haven't already left down in New Orleans. You're going to play on Saturday. If not, a week from Saturday. And if not, then you're suspended and you're going to sit at home until you figure it out or go somewhere else. But you know, I'm not letting him go to New Orleans.
I really thought before we got this story about Justin Fields and the transfer and everything that I really thought Justin Fields would play a lot in the Sugar Bowl. And I really believe that you'd have seen about a 50-50 split in snaps because it would have been a great opportunity to put Justin in a lot of live game situation against a good team, against a team that's going to be highly ranked going into next year. I think a team you and I have talked in the bullpen about, I think Texas has a lot to play for. I think Texas needs to take this game seriously and really kind of set themselves up for going into next year because they're going to be a top 6-10 team going into next season that this would have been a great opportunity to get Justin Fields a lot of quality time in a game where, let's face it, I mean, win, lose, or draw, it doesn't make or break what Georgia's season was at this point. Do you want to win the game? Of course. But at the same time, if something happened and you didn't, it doesn't take away from what Georgia was or was not.
And this kind of proves the point about Justin Fields, and we welcome Jeff Centell in to talk about recruiting. He is with Dog Nation. Jeff, welcome to the show.
Hey, guys. Happy post-early signing day, man. It was commitmas yesterday, and I hope everybody enjoyed it.
Commitmas. There's the new word, commitmas. You know what? I'm stealing that, Jeff. That is now my word, commitmas. I am using that from this point forward. Jeff, we're not going to dwell on it with you because we do want to talk about the signing thing, but it does point out what we were saying earlier about why Justin Fields and the non-decision by Kirby Smart here is going to make this really difficult, because this is the only story that anybody's going to be talking about with Kirby, with Justin, with the players. Is Justin Fields gone? Why are you playing him? And so much so that we start this segment, Georgia has the number two class in the nation, and what are we talking about? Jeff, this has got to be resolved, in my opinion.
Yeah, it's definitely an interesting topic, guys. I think there's two schools of thought on that. I think it's going to be how a lot of people approaches it. I think the football program, what Coach Smart looks at is he looks at it as we're trying to win the football game. That's what he stated this week. Georgia's trying to win the football game, and Justin is a talented player. But then the realist and everybody out there just wonders, and this is something anybody picks up, is how do you get this toothpaste back into the tube? Like, what's supposed to happen here? Is Justin supposed to make two or three Sports Center plays, top 10 plays, and is that an audition for his next team? or better yet, is he supposed to fall back in love with the chances of playing for Georgia? Well, in order to do that and for it to provide a showcase, a situation where he decides and he doesn't 180 and decides he wants to come back to Georgia, for that to happen, very dangerous game in my mind, because what are you going to do with your current starting quarterback?
Hey Jeff, I need to do something. I need to put you on hold. We got to see if we can. I'm having a hard time hearing you right now. AT, see if we can clear up that phone line, because it is. But to his point of what Jeff said, you are in a situation where with Justin Fields, I think, John, again, I go back to my point. Here, Georgia gets the number two class in the nation, and they get the number one rush defense. They get two bookend defensive ends. They should be celebrating at Georgia. And what are we talking about?
And their five-star linebacker.
And their five-star linebacker.
Five-star
and
center.
And a four-star quarterback they just flipped from Ohio State. And what are we talking about? We're talking about Justin Fields.
Mm-hmm.
It just goes to the point. All right, let's see if we can clear this up a little bit. Let's bring sorry about that, Jeff. We got it better?
Yeah.
There you go. Much better. Thank you.
Jeff, let me ask you. I know some people were kind of there was a little bit of angst about some of the kids that Alabama had that had gotten commitments from but hadn't gotten the paperwork in. Has Georgia got anybody that's kind of in that boat of they got commitments but still kind of waiting to actually see the paperwork come in?
There's one gentleman out there, John Rice Plumlee, who's a talented quarterback out of Mississippi. He's even a pro baseball prospect. He's runs a 4.5 legit from the quarterback spot. He's committed to Georgia, but Georgia, in its scholarship crunch with numbers, has asked him to take a blue shirt. Now,
right.
It takes 19 minutes to describe a blue shirt, but what that essentially means is he comes in, pays his own way for 2 months, then goes on scholarship in August of 2019, and it feels a little bit like no interest financing where that scholarship goes toward the 2020 class. He didn't sign on Wednesday, so that's a kid that everybody's going to be thinking about. He's already a fan favorite because of he wanted to come to Georgia when Justin Fields and Jake Fromm were there. But man, the kid is uber talented. He's at an All-Star game last week. He is tickling the ivories like Billy Joel with Piano Man, and he's got a decent A-minus Bruno Mars piano song man game to him, too. And you add in the 4.4 speed, it seems like he can do everything. The main thing there, guys, and let's keep that the main thing, are the targets that are still out there on the water. And those are the guys, five-star wide receiver Jaden Hazelwood. He's announcing his decision on January the 5th. Tyreek Stevenson, who would be, in my opinion, one of the five or six best players that Georgia could sign this year, is in Miami. He's announcing his decision at the All-American game as well, All-American Bowl as well, on January the 5th. So those are two guys out there. Kirby Smart said yesterday that they're a few spots shy. They have a few spots to work with, and they're really, really looking at adding some help at defensive back, wide receiver, and also one more offensive lineman. So that's what's out there. I think Georgia can probably add two, three, four more guys, depending on how many guys go pro. Names like Riley Ridley, Mecole Hardman, Isaac Nauta, Elijah Holyfield, things like that. Holyfield's trending now backward towards coming back to Georgia. So it's kind of going to be a yin and yang thing, the amount of guys that go pro, give them more room to sign scholarships in the 2019 class.
I have another question, Jeff Santella, Dog Nation, about the recruiting class, but just really quickly, just kind of a yes-no question. Zamir White going to be healthy for next year?
Well, it depends on healthy. I'm going to say this succinctly as I can. If Zamir White comes back at 85 or 90% of what he was, two knee injuries, I think he is as good as any running back that Georgia could have signed in 2019.
Yeah, I think that's kind of where we're at. All right, so rushing the passer was an issue for this Georgia team this year, and this is how I look down the list. Four-star defensive end from Independence, Kansas. He's a flip out of JUCO, Jermaine Johnson. Four-star defensive end from down south in Thomaston, Georgia, Trayvon Walker. Four-star defensive end out of Memphis, Tennessee, and William Norton. Five-star defensive end, arguably number one player in the nation out of Bradenton IMG Academy, Nolan Smith. 3 4-stars, a 5-star, instant bookends on both sides of that defensive line.
Yeah, and a lot of those guys, Trayvon Walker, he's so big. He's a talented basketball player. You can see him spending most of his time as an interior defensive lineman at Georgia. But the one that got named that speaks to two names, actually, and Kirby even addressed it in his post-signing day briefing yesterday, was Georgia has signed, it's clear-cut here, two of the most athletic outside linebacker types in the country. It's hard to imagine anybody checking the pass rush need box with a bigger check than Georgia did last year. Let me tell you a little bit about Nolan Smith, nation's number one overall prospect on the 24/7 Sports composite. 6'3", about 230, 42 inches on the vertical leap, 4.4, true 4.4 speed. He runs the short shuttle, the pro agility drill, as fast as an elite top five receiver would be expected to run that short shuttle drill. Incredible change of direction and speed. Nolan Smith's actually from Savannah. He went to the boarding school at IMG Academy, that football powerhouse. You want to talk about instant pass rush? Nolan Smith will bring that. He's going to be there early along with Jermaine Johnson, a 6'6", 255-pound JUCO. Stands to be the first Bulldog, scholarship Bulldog in the modern era ever from the state of Minnesota.
Wow, that's kind of interesting.
Wow.
Yeah, it's recruiting nationally. We're talking with Jeff Centel of Dog Nation and talking about Georgia recruiting.
Jeff, got a question for you. I'm curious about any thoughts about, are there any guys who may be surprised that may end up declaring for the draft from this current Georgia team?
Yeah, that's the thing. It's all about how many, because we've been answering this question a lot for our readers, is how many can Georgia sign? And it's like an X plus Y equals Z thing. X is the amount of guys that see that they're not going to play at Georgia, that perhaps that they've been passed by all these recruiting classes, and they decide there's another level of football for them where they can play right away and continue their career. There's also the guys, which is a good thing, that have gotten favorable draft grades from the NFL. Georgia only had 15 scholarships being exhausted by eligibility. So for Georgia to get to 25, 24 scholarships this year in the class, they had to have some combination of guys leaving either for the NFL or either to go to another program. And the names that you always circled around for a while, Riley Ridley, Mecole Hardman, J.R. Reed even, the really good safety. A lot of these guys are going to come back, or they're trending to come back. Elijah Holyfield, there was a time where most people thought, even a couple of recruits I talked to, where suddenly they felt and they learned that Elijah Holyfield was likely going to be leaving. And then all of a sudden everybody thought, wow, that's some carries in the Georgia backfield next year that come open. And that made the Bulldogs, with their offensive line, an even more attractive place to be. So Isaac Nauta is another huge one. I think that guy right there, Isaac Nauta, the tight end, former 5-star tight end, also out of IMG Academy in Florida, like Nolan Smith, from a leadership, from a production, from, let's face it, Georgia needs to make sure it has all SEC level play at tight end because it's chasing a championship. And the name everybody maybe overlooks in the transfer portal this week, Justin Fields is in there, but also Luke Ford, who was a top three nation's number two tight end last year in the 2018 class. He's in the transfer portal as well. And we have to think that his status with the Georgia program is still at least very much in the air.
Jeff Centel of Dog Nation, I got only about 10 seconds here, Jeff. Best guess, day after commit miss, I told you I'm stealing it. Where does Justin Fields play next year?
I would say Ohio State or Oklahoma.
All right. Appreciate it. Thanks very much.
Thanks, Jeff.
Jeff Centel of Dog Nation here, day after, and I am stealing the commitments.
Before you read that, DeAndre Francois has said he's either going to the NFL or transferring out of Florida State.
Well, there you go. Yeah. Well, there's a new one on you. I think Justin Fields' decision, I think Jadon Hazelwood, the kid out of Cedar Grove who caught the touchdown pass to win the state title game, four-star wide receiver, I'm going to guess that he's kind of tied to wherever Justin Fields goes. If Justin goes to Oklahoma,
well,
Hazelwood goes to Oklahoma.
Georgia's bringing in Mookie Blaylock's kid.
Yeah, I understand that.
Where did he play?
Hazelwood may go to Ohio State if Justin
Walton
Fields.
Walton High School, yeah. I'm wondering. Roswell.
I think that Hazelwood might be going with Justin Fields somewhere.
That has been the story the past couple of days, yes.
93 on the game, of course, home for all of your football game day coverage on Sunday. Coverage starts 4 hours before the game with the Wait For It Tailgate Show at 9 a.m. Sunday. Get your Sunday football on with the Wait For It Tailgate Show, 9 a.m. on Sunday. When we get back, here's a quick question for you. What was the best Atlanta sports in 2018? We're going to have all these. Arthur's got this list, and he wants to ask us. We want you to play along in the car, too. It's John with John Chuckery on this very busy Thursday after a CBS Sports Minute and Boomer Esiason.
Get in there and open a can, all
right? And this season, it's in our own backyard. Keep listening as we bring you Super Bowl 53.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
A very Merry Christmas to you. 5 days away from the big day. Hope you have a wonderful holiday. Be safe out there. Travel today might be a little bit difficult. They're saying there could be some delays at the airport, what with the weather rolling in and holidays and whatnot. And, of course, it's going to get a little hairy on the roads, especially with the rain. So just everybody take your time, take a deep breath. I have to pick up the mother-in-law today from the airport, coming down from Indianapolis. John Fricke, he will be back tomorrow. John Chuckery in for Hugh today. We've been talking a lot about college football and signing day and whatnot. But we thought we'd take the show in a little bit of a different spin because Arthur, being the producer of the show, wants to have a little bit of a chance to tell us and heat us up a little bit on some of the bigger stories of the year. Now, my understanding, Arthur, you want to do this today and tomorrow. Tomorrow with you, it's going to be like the national stories.
You are correct, sir. Okay, tomorrow we will do the national stories of 2018 and what was the best among national sports figures. But today, I wanted to do, and a lot of people do this. I mean, I get a fascination at the end of each year when a lot of the magazines come out and they're the best of whatever. I picked up Entertainment Weekly a week ago, the best of 2018. Sports Illustrated does it, Sports Person of the Year. Have that, the Warriors are on the cover this year. Time Magazine does its Man of the Year, or Person of the Year. So I said, well, why don't we just do what's best in Atlanta sports in 2018? So to the two of you, and then Wendy, you can certainly join in if you like, and Darryl as well. Who was Atlanta's best sports team this year? Should be a fairly easy.
I was going to say, isn't this obvious? I mean, they just won a MLS Cup, in Mercedes-Benz.
Yeah, I'm going to be a bit of a different guy over here.
You're going to say the Braves?
I'm going to say the Braves. Mm-hmm. I just think that.
Really?
Know, well, Atlanta United had a great, great
that's
year.
Why I got invited to the parade and you didn't.
Yeah, I know. I'm sure
wait
that's
a,
true.
Wait a minute.
Okay, I'm not going
to. I know I asked the question. I'm looking for an answer. Yeah. But after all these years that you've been whining and moaning and groaning about this city winning a championship and you don't pick that as the sports team of the year?
I didn't whine and moan about not winning a championship.
Wendy, Darryl?
I say a championship makes you the best team.
Whenever you got to a, you know, we get one, we're going to get multiples. That's all I ever said.
The Braves are the biggest overachiever
always a
by far.
I was never the half-empty guy. The Braves overachieving to win the NL East the way they did with Ronald Acuna developing into the star that he was and Brian Snicker and all the awards that they won at the end of the year. I guess I expected in a way that Atlanta United might win the cup this year because I thought they were the best team in the league. So I'm going to give one vote to the Braves and the other people can pick.
But from expectation is one thing, but they delivered. But okay,
yep.
I don't know you anymore. Yeah. Uh-huh. Okay. Question. Well, since you've shocked us with the first one, we'll see what number two brings.
That's why I got invited to the parade. You did, John.
I know. Mm-hmm.
Who was Atlanta's best individual player, the MVP of Atlanta in 2018?
I had Joseph Martinez.
See, I would give it to Ronald Acuna here.
Yeah, see, and I would go Ronald Acuna as
Oh, my Lord, this man today. You are incredible.
I just think Ronald Acuna is just such
rookie
a superstar.
Rookie of the year. I mean, the reason they won the NL East was because of Ronald Acuna.
The reason Atlanta United won the championship was because of Joseph Martinez.
Or Miguel Moran.
Or LGP in the
playoffs. He was the MVP of the league.
Now
you're talking to a guy who's not a soccer fan.
And he was MVP of the
All-Star
MLS
game.
Cup.
And the All-Star game.
Yeah, I'll trip. Only player to ever
Wow. Boy, he is surprising me today. Okay, well.
Are you on board with us? Are you on board with me or are you on board with them?
I'm going to Atlanta United.
Yeah.
I'm going Martinez.
Okay, well, we'll see if he
goes. He's my former producer on Nightcap.
Hey, you know, Chuckery got invited to the parade.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Fricky did.
You rolled on the float?
No, but there were some there's some of the soccer listeners that put their
the voice is cracking.
Yeah, I know. Peter Brady did it. they put their list together of station personalities who should be and not be allowed at the parade, and I was on the invite of the parade, and Fricky wasn't. And so I gave him the DX chop. I gave him the DX chop for that.
Okay, I'm about to say, because I remember John being there.
Okay,
not a problem. I was there.
Well, you probably invented it.
Okay, John, I agree with you about
parade.
Yes.
Oh,
yeah. Okay. Well, since you've shocked us with the first two, let's see if we'll get that high and tight fastball on number three. Who was Atlanta's best coach in 2018?
Right. Tata.
Or manager.
That one I will go with Tata.
You could make a case for Brian Snicker because the players rallied around Brian Snicker.
And I'm going to give Tata the nod if for no other reason than in 2 years that team did win a cup. And he was, you know, you talk about Joseph Martinez and Miguel Almirón, what Darren Nils and Carlos Bocanegra did. But really, it was Tata, the hiring of Tata Martino that changed everything for that franchise because he was able to bring the players in because of his name value.
And then how they had to sort of change how they played for the playoffs. I mean, that was because of him and the way they played. Which is why whoever steps in and takes that job has big shoes to fill.
The greatest thing about all that is when the sideline girl would – ask Tata a question, he'd answer in Spanish. Then she'd have to get the answer from the translator, and then she'd thank the translator.
Right.
You know, that's the best part of all of that.
Now, I tell you what.
Because he understood every word that she said and can speak English, by the way. So.
Yeah, Tata would be my choice, but I would also give honorable mention votes to two coaches who we really don't talk about much over here. At the HBCUs, Morehouse and Clark Atlanta Basketball, Darryl Walker. And Grady Brewer led those two teams to their respective playoffs, and Darryl Walker ended up taking a job at Arkansas State, I believe. So he is no longer there.
Yeah, and Brian Bohannon took a team to number two in the nation of Kennesaw. So I mean, yeah, there are a lot of candidates. It's not as simple as cut and dried, you know. But you know,
all right, Mr. Grump, who is Atlanta's most colorful athlete right now?
John? Oh, I've got Ronald Acuña Jr. for that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, he's the face of the Braves franchise, and now he's moving into one of the faces of baseball moving forward. You're starting to see him on, like these promotional packages and stuff like that.
Well, all right, I'm gonna stay with the same team and use a different player. I'm going
to
go with Ozzie Albies.
I
think Ozzie Albies is just – he is Mr. Excitement. He's jumping up and down. He is, you know – Ronald is, you know – I mean – Ozzy to me is kind of the show.
Well, Ozzy always has his helmet fly off when he runs, so he's just such an exciting player to watch.
That's my guy. I would vote for Ozzy Albies.
And for your listeners out there, if you have your opinions, please hit us up at 929 The Game on Twitter.
Yeah, one guy already yelled at Fricky on Twitter.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he's got tweeted.
Well, I mean, fans are going to be fans. I mean, whatever.
I thought you were a fan. All right, question number five.
That's why he's not in the parade.
I am a huge fan of Atlanta United, but you know you have to vote.
Sounds
here.
Like
I mean,
yeah, it's obvious to the listener.
Oh, which
Mr.
team?
No parader.
Which team to that point has the brightest future?
I still think it's the Atlanta Braves because I think Atlanta United is not going to change as long as Arthur Blank is the owner and alive. That Atlanta United will stay the course. I think the Braves are the one that are the next. I think the Braves are the next most likely team to. You know, grab that championship. That is, if they don't screw up the offseason, which I have this real fear of, but we can talk about that another time.
I mean, when you say brightest future, you're talking about two years or 5 years?
Semantics. Yeah, Just pick a team.
Well, because if it's 5 years, it's the Atlanta Hawks.
Oh, come on.
I don't know how you can say that.
Yeah. Because they're going to get, because they're going to be, they're going to be, because I have full faith in Tony Ressler.
Rick and John are coming up next.
And Travis Schlenk and Lloyd Pierce to get a great draft pick next year and the year after. They're going to have two first-rounders this year and two first-rounders next year. Tony Russell said he's going to bring a thing in. I think the Atlanta Hawks could have a really bright future if they do this right, and I think they are. I think the future of the Atlanta Hawks
there
is very bright.
There are so many things that have to go right in the NBA for all that. Many things in the NBA have to go right.
You know what?
That.
You know what? Okay. I know. Now I understand why John's giving some of these answers. He's looking for free tickets next year. Which player?
He just wants to make sure he gets invited to the Hawks parade. Get on that train now.
I'm glad you. You know, I mean, for a guy that you know proclaimed himself to be soccerless,
I'm Doc Sock. Oh. I'm part of Atlanta's favorite soccer duo. Me and Randy McMichael are Atlanta's favorite.
Have you ever been to a game?
Yes, I've been to games.
Oh. Yes.
I'm the only one in the room.
Look at my Twitter profile picture. Where do you think that was taken?
Yeah.
I'm the only one who has not gone to a soccer match.
Look at my Twitter profile picture. Where do you think that was taken, John? Of me and Randy Mack.
Well, I don't know.
I've been at the Georgia Dome. What do I know?
I'm not going to go to your program.
It's Fifth Third Bank Stadium. I don't know.
You don't have to take this, John.
All right. I don't care. Here's how much value of stock I put in it.
Mm. No.
Wow. Look, man, don't diminish the segment. What's the matter with you?
Wow.
The last question. You wouldn't react that way. The last question, and I expect diverse answers on this one. Which venue is your favorite?
This one's hands down easy for me. Mercedes-Benz Stadium. I'm in awe of that building every time I step in, no matter if it's for a game or if it's for like a soccer game that I'm actually attending or working in that building.
Now, you mean just the venue in general, right?
Right.
Right. Yeah. To me, it's SunTrust Park. That whole thing with the battery and SunTrust Park and everything, they really did that right. They really got that right. And now you understand why. Like it or not, you can understand why they wanted to get out of where they were. They really did that whole environment right.
And you're asking me my favorite venue in town. Believe it or not, it's McCamish. I love McCamish.
Thank you, John. Love it.
And if it's loud and rocking again for Georgia Tech, everything about college basketball.
He's thinking about Bobby Kremins.
Lethal Weapon 3.
Yeah.
Lethal Weapon 3 was pretty good. Not gonna lie, they certainly were.
Tom Hammonds, Mark Price.
It's a new day. It's a new year. Thank you, John.
You're welcome.
No. Are they going
to
win?
Sucking up to Darryl, huh?
No, he's not.
Wait a second.
Let me ask you a question. Because all the people out there who have never been in McCamish, is McCamish a really great venue?
Yes, it is. When Tech is a really good program, that place is rocking.
Yes, that's what I'm saying.
Back in the old days when Tech was really
even
good.
Even Alexander Memorial Coliseum, it was insane.
That place rocked.
That's why it got the Thunderdome name.
Yeah.
No, it was the Thriller Dome.
Thriller Dome.
Well, thanks, guys. Tomorrow, John Chuckery won't be here, but we'll do the National.
You mean it'll be a fun segment?
Wow. Huh?
Whoa. What did he say?
Wow.
I didn't catch that.
He said it'll be a fun segment. Wow.
Okay. I'm going to punch him right in the gut, pal.
Hey, now I know, and it's unfair for Atlanta. Look, Atlanta United had a phenomenal year, and we tip our hats.
Hey, thanks, John.
Don't try to suck up now.
Yeah. I'm not.
Yeah, parade's over, John.
92.9 The Game, going to broadcast live tomorrow, Twin Peaks, Kennesaw 2-7 with Dukes and Bells. So start your weekend right. They're going to be there in Kennesaw, Barrett Parkway. If you're going north, get off. It's on the left. You can't miss it. It says Twin Peaks all over the building. 2-7 with Dukes and Bell tomorrow. When we get back, some of the things we may have missed in this mess of a Thursday show in the Wendy Zone on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.